I guess the most important question we can ask is, who is Jesus Christ? There's a lot of confusion, a lot of opinions, a lot of different perspectives on that. So how many would agree with me that it's important that we really know who Jesus is? How many know that there are many Jesuses being presented today? Different gospels, different spirits, all trying to impersonate Jesus. But we need to know who the true Jesus is so we don't follow another. Amen. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me, right? And I give unto them eternal life." Hallelujah. We need to hear from God. We need to know his voice. And again, you can't learn God in the classroom. He must be revealed to you by his Spirit. Amen? So our salvation is linked to our faith in Jesus Christ alone. And it's very important that we know who Jesus is. And the question that is really on the table is Jesus God? Was he God? Or was he just one of the prophets? Or maybe just a good man that did a lot of good works? And in Matthew 16, in verse 13, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" In verse 14, "So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." The word Christ means the anointed one or the Messiah. Peter actually recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. And so Jesus answered to him. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." Guys, we need to give God thanks for the revelation we have, for the understanding that he's given us. We should not be haughty, and we need to be careful not to take that upon ourselves as my spirituality has anything to do with my efforts or my works. God is gracious, and that's why we're saved. Amen. God is merciful, and God is the one that imparts revelation, knowledge, truth by his Spirit. So we need to rejoice in that fact that God has chosen for you and I to hear his voice, to know his voice, to know truth, to know the word of God. And we need to be very careful that we remain humble before him, because God does give his grace to the humble. Amen. He gives his grace to the hungry, to those who are poor in spirit, to those who realize that in and of themselves they don't have what they need to live a life that is godly, that is an overcoming life. We understand that the substance of all that we do and say and teach in Christianity is Christ. He's the center. He's the foundation. If my life is not built on Jesus Christ, the true Jesus Christ, then I'm living on sand, amen? And I will be unstable. Only the Lord can bring true stability to our lives. And so the Lord will allow at times the waves and the wind to beat upon your house for the purpose of your roots going down deeper into him and you becoming stronger in him, more stable in your walk. Amen. It's not going to be a cakewalk. Amen. Jesus said the road that leads to life is narrow or difficult, confined, and there's few who find it. We understand that our hope is in Jesus Christ and him alone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. So we're here again. Can you believe another year's gone by? It's just so quickly gone by. This year, I'm glad it went by fast, actually. I mean, the whole pandemic and all that, you know. Christmas is about the incarnation. It's about God becoming flesh, God becoming a man. The word incarnation, according to Noel Webster, is the embodiment of a deity or spirit in some earthly form. 1 Timothy 3:16, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, Matthew 1, verse 23, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. The word, same word used in 1 Timothy 3:16 and Matthew 1:23 is theos, meaning deity or supreme divinity. So you see, the word of God clearly tells us that Jesus, amen, is Almighty God. He is one with the Father. I and my Father are one, amen. And John 1:1, we know this so well, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. In verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." And the Word was who? It was God, and God became flesh, dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, the cults today have one common denominator. They all deny that Jesus, amen, is the Son of God, all right? That Jesus, in the sense, is not actually God. He is a prophet, or a good man, but they deny the deity of Christ. This is fundamental. This is foundational to what we believe and what we teach, that Jesus is God, amen, in the flesh, hallelujah. We have in heaven an exalted God-man. He is the man, Christ Jesus. The Bible's very clear about that. The man, Christ Jesus, who is in heaven. There is a flesh and bone, amen, man, hallelujah, who is also God, amen, at the right hand of the Father, hallelujah, representing us as our great high priest, the one that we can come and make our petitions known, amen, the one that we can come before and confess our sins and know that He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. Aren't you glad about that? From all unrighteousness. Now, remember, when Joseph learned that Mary was pregnant with child, he was troubled. Can you understand that, right? Okay. Because he wasn't realizing that this was a supernatural conception and that it wasn't the result of her being unfaithful to him. And so in Matthew 1:19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Or in other words, he was going to break their engagement quietly because, of course, in his own natural understanding, you know, he was convinced that she had been unfaithful and she'd been pregnant outside of marriage. In verse 20, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." And then in verse 24, it says, "Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife." And verse 25, listen to this, it's very important we understand something here. Mary is not a perpetual virgin. Let's get it straight, okay? But Mary did not know Joseph until Jesus was born and did not know her. That means was not intimate with Joseph. What? Till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now, 700 years prior to this, the prophet Micah had prophesied in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler of Israel." Now listen, "whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Who's he speaking about? Jesus, from everlasting. He came to this earth to be our sacrifice. He was the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 10:5, "Therefore, when he," Jesus, "came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me." Of course, body references his incarnation, that Jesus took on humanity. He came in the likeness, okay, of sinful Adam, yet he was without sin, amen? Because only a sinless or a spotless sacrifice could qualify to be the sacrifice for the sins of the people, amen? Because sin could not pay for sin, God supernaturally impregnated Mary, amen, who had never known a man, because the blood of the child is linked to the Father. Amen. And so that child would be born, and the blood in Jesus, amen, would be the blood of God, the only blood that could atone for sin. Hallelujah. And Jesus came on our behalf to be our sacrifice. And the animals that were offered under the law, these were types and shadows, or they were previews, if you will, that were pointing forward to the ultimate sacrifice of the Lord. Aren't you glad that we don't have to go through all that today? There's still people offering blood sacrifices. Amen. It's unnecessary. Hebrews 10:1, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come. Not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. It was a temporary covering, but it could not remove, amen, the consequence and the guilt and the shame of sin. So what brought pleasure to God the Father was that Jesus was willing to become our sacrifice, that he was willing to do all of the Father's goodwill, no matter what the cost. And we know that in John 10:18, Jesus was very clear about this. He says, "No one takes my life or takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, listen, and I have power to take it again." Now, only God could do that. "This command I have received from my Father." Whatever Jesus did was in complete harmony and agreement with the Father's will. That's why he's holy. That's why there's a holy Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are always in harmony, always in agreement. There's never a contradiction. And so the names even that were given to Jesus spoke of his deity, that Jesus was God in the flesh. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given." A child, meaning mankind, a son, meaning Son of God, is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The government speaks about his eternal kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, because Jesus is going to reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the scripture declares that one day that Jesus is going to establish his reign. Amen. He's going to sit upon the throne of David in the city of Jerusalem. According to Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Now, I want to read it to you from the New Living Translation, Isaiah 9:7. "His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of heaven's armies will make this happen." So in other words, one day, guys, I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to it. There will be true justice in the earth. All those cockroaches will have no place to hide. Amen. God's coming to rule. He's coming to reign. He's going to clean house. Amen. Now, God does bring temporary judgments, amen, upon nations and upon people. However, the time is coming when he established his rule, his reign over the earth. There will be true justice. Amen. And there will be peace on earth and goodwill towards men. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 11 and verse 3, it says, speaking of Jesus, "He will delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by appearance, nor make a decision based on hearsay." Well, I heard it on YouTube. I heard it on the mainstream media. I heard it on CNN. "He will give justice to the poor and make fair decisions for the exploited. The earth will shake at the force of his word, and one breath from his mouth will destroy the wicked." What's going to happen? Jesus is going to intervene for those who were oppressed by those in power. Somebody say amen, right? One day, all violence will be removed from the earth. Isaiah 11, verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The New Living Translation says, nothing will hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for as the waters fill the sea, so the earth will be filled with people who know the Lord. They won't have to say, come know the Lord. Why? Because the Lord will be here. The day is coming when the entire earth will be productive once again. Isaiah 35, 1, the wilderness and the wasteland shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice, even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellence of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the excellency of our God. Yes, in that day there will be peace on earth, goodwill towards men. Isaiah 35 and verse 10, and the ransomed of the Lord. Who are the ransomed? Those who by the grace of God had turned from darkness to light. They've turned from the power of Satan to the power of God. Can you say amen? And the ransomed of the Lord shall return, and they'll come to Zion with singing, with everlasting joy on their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and this is the good part, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Hallelujah. Yes, Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. Of course, this is speaking about the Lord coming, amen, incarnate, God incarnate. The light had come, hallelujah. And for a season they rejoiced in the light that they had, amen, until the light, amen, also had to fulfill, amen, the purpose for which he came to take upon himself, amen, that body of humanity in the likeness of sinful Adam and become our sacrifice, be offered up willingly to lay him, his life down for us on the cross, amen, so that the sins of the world could be forgiven. So whosoever would turn to him and call on him, if you would repent and turn to God and confess your sins, that you could receive forgiveness, amen. That means a cancellation of debt and to never be held against you again. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter how bad you've blown it. God wants to forgive. That's why he went to the cross, so that we could be qualified through his righteousness to be in his presence forever. Amen. God makes us righteous. God makes us holy. Amen. It's something that we receive. It's not something that we can achieve. By faith, we enter in to his presence by way of the blood. Sometimes we beat ourselves up because we haven't lived to this standard that, you know, we know is right. Maybe we've blown it, had a bad day, had a carnal moment in traffic, whatever it might be. Don't look so sanctified out there. What do? You turn right to Jesus. Amen, Lord, I'm sorry. All right? You take that thought captive and you quit letting the devil beat you over the head with it. You take, amen, authority over that and say, thank you, Jesus, that you have forgiven me. Amen. My sins are forgiven. I receive the merits of your precious blood. They have availed for me. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I am a son of God through the new birth. Amen. And my name is written in heaven. I am a child of God. And in this I rejoice. Hallelujah. Not in my own goodness, not in my own righteousness, but I rejoice in his goodness and in his righteousness alone, I can stand faultless before the throne. Hallelujah. We come by way of the blood and not by way of our own works. Amen. Here it is. Here again, Jesus is referred to as everlasting Father, as mighty God. In the Hebrew, the Almighty, it means almighty deity. So he's referred to as Almighty God. He's speaking of Christ, the Christ child, the Messiah, God incarnate, God in human flesh. Amen. So there are many groups that are contesting this, that don't believe. In Islam, they don't believe that God had a son. Okay? In Mormonism and Jehovah's Witness and these other groups, they deny the deity of Christ. That's one common denominator, once again, for those men who are actually speaking a different Jesus, speaking a different gospel, presenting a different spirit. How many know that Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 58, before Abraham was, they took up stones at that point. How can you claim to be God? What was the name given to Moses at the burning bush? Tell them that I am, has sent you. Before Abraham was, I am. The scripture is very clear. He is the eternal God, amen, and eternal life. Jesus Christ is the only way to the Father. Hallelujah, the only way to salvation. There is salvation in none other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby what we must be saved. It's not the Christmas story, really, guys, is not a cute little baby in a manger. It was a horrible time in the history of mankind when Jesus came. It was one of the darkest points in human history. And the light shone in the darkness. They beheld his glory. He became a man. This Jesus would live a difficult life, and he suffered a brutal death for us on the cross. And of course, that scripture that we all love so much, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. And in the next verse says, you know, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You know, God is not willing that anyone should perish. Even your enemies. God does not want your enemies to perish. We need to pray for our enemies. Amen. We need to bless those who curse us. We need to pray for those who despitefully use us and persecute us. Amen. Hallelujah. And pray that God will get a hold of them. If they have to go out and eat grass like an ox, God, just get a hold of them. Like Nebuchadnezzar, right? And he came back rejoicing, right? No, he came back praising the Lord and saying, he's God, I'm not. I've stripped myself of that title. I'm not all that, after all. Come on, some of these politicians need to get it, amen? You're not all that. You're not God, he is. And he rules over the affairs of the nations. He rules in the nations. He's God over all. He's sovereign over all the earth. And every knee's going to bow to him. Period, amen. Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Hallelujah. Guys, how many here have experienced this great joy? It's the joy of the Lord. It's the joy of a soul that's been set free. It's the joy of one whose sins have been forgiven. Amen? Who God has canceled the debt. Hallelujah. And you know by faith in God's promise, amen, that I am claiming the merits of the blood on my behalf. Hallelujah. I don't have to live in regret over yesterday. Hallelujah. Today is a new day, a new beginning. Today is the day of salvation. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. Give glory to your God, for he has paid the price that you deserve to pay. You don't have to pay it. Amen. You don't have to crawl on your knees for miles and be hung on a cross. Amen. Jesus paid the price for us so that we could go free. Aren't you glad about that? Hallelujah. That never gets old, guys. That message is the heart of what God's heart is. Amen. It's God saying that I love you. And how much do I love you? This much. As he spread his arms and he died for us. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we praise you for all you've done for us. Lord, so undeserved. And yet you gave to prove your love for us. We say to God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things he has done. With his blood, he has saved me. By his power, he has raised me. To God be the glory for the things he has done. Let's sing that. Would you stand? Let's sing it together. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. With His blood He has saved. With His power? With His power. He has raised me. He has raised me. To God be the glory for the things He hath done. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Let's sing it again. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, Christ the Lord. His name is called Emmanuel. God with us, revealed in us. His name is called Emmanuel. So rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hallelujah. No matter what we see happening in the days to come, know this, that God is with you. God is for you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't what lean on this up here. And be careful, little eyes, what you see, little ears, what you're hearing and what is coming out of your mouth. Amen. Get in agreement with God's word, God's will. Amen. Speak those things that God is speaking. Listen to that voice, amen, of the Holy Spirit. And pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. All right? Or that facade that you see up on the screen. Amen? Because God is going to have His way in this nation. Amen? And we're believing, hallelujah, for great things to come. That we're going to see the salvation of the Lord. Would you join with me this morning? Let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Father, we pray for your intervention in our nation, in our capital, in our politicians, in our president, for your intervention, Lord, in this whole election process. God, we pray that you would move mightily, Lord God, upon every leader, upon every state representative, Lord, every person in the House. We pray in Jesus' name, Father, for justice, Lord, to prevail in this nation, because, Lord, you are a God who loves justice and you love mercy. So God, we plead your justice for our land. Hallelujah. Send justice, Lord God. We pray that you'd root out, that you'd flush out, Lord God, the corruption in Washington, D.C. and down even to the local levels, God. We pray for an exposure of all those hidden things of darkness, that they might be exposed, and that, Lord, you may bring those rogue operators who have undermined their oath of office, bring them, Lord, to justice in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray for mercy that you will save their soul, Lord God. And thank you for your goodness that you've shown mercy to us, Lord God, and that you've allowed us to see what we can see. And we give you the glory, Lord. Hallelujah. And we will rejoice in hope because we know with God, nothing shall be impossible. And all things are possible, not just some things, to them that believe. Amen. Be careful not to listen to the evil report, but listen to the heart of God. God hates injustice. God is at work. Amen. He's moving. So let's join together with one another. Amen. In agreement with the Father's heart and pray for His kingdom to come and His will to be done here in America. And amen. In the nations. Hallelujah. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the earth and all the world. As a witness, and then the end shall come. We have our assignment, don't we? You are the light. You are the salt. Be an influencer. Pray that God will open doors, opportunities for you, amen, to share the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah.